Do you want to do the next two introductions? Yeah.
Brilliant now to hear from God's word. And I've asked my father, Mike, to come and to read today's passage. So, Dad, if you could come up to read from Ephesians 4, please. And then it's a real joy and a privilege for me as well to welcome the Reverend Gordon Hindmarsh. Just give a little wave, Gordon, and his wife, Rachel. Gordon has been my mentor for the past 3 years during my newly accredited minister period, and he's going to be speaking this morning. So thank you both.
Our reading this morning is part of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, nearly 2,000 years ago. And by God's grace, it has been preserved to speak to the church today, here in New Malden. So let us hear what the Spirit said through the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus and to the church in New Malden. Ephesians chapter 4 and the first 13 verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. May that be so here as well as in Ephesus.
Lord God, thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for Gordon and his faithfulness in ministering and in preaching. And I just pray you'll empower and enable him by your Spirit now as he speaks to us. Give us ears to listen. Amen.
Amen. So my name's Gordon. I'm the minister at Witten Baptist Church. We're very close to the big rugby stadium. And even as I speak, 82,000 people are coming to watch England rugby. And that's where our church is. It's been a real privilege to know Simon for these past 3 years as his mentor. And Simon, it's very much been a two-way thing. Any of us here who've been ministered to by Simon will know he brings a lot of wisdom a lot of experience, a lot of prayerful thought and consideration into conversations. Always got to focus on Jesus, always got to focus on you as a person. He just has that amazing God-given ability to make you feel really special. And so, Simon, it's very much been, for me personally, it's been a two-way thing, an absolute blessing and a joy to meet with you about every 6 weeks we've been meeting for the last 3 years. And it's great to be here with Hanny as well, because we both share Hanny as our regional minister as well. He looks after west of London and Thames Valley and so on. So, Hanny, it's really lovely to have you here today and to have Andy and Chung and others, a few of you that I've had the privilege, I think Sue as well possibly, I've had the privilege of meeting. Today's a day to celebrate. Today is a day to be happy and joyful, because it's a new partnership in this church, New Malden Baptist Church. Now, yesterday was my birthday. I'll leave it to some of you here to guess which one it might be. I'm not going to tell you, but suffice it to say, three generations of Hindmarches came together to share and sing and enjoy a family time together, involving chocolate cake and candles. I just thought there's a little parable in this, because I felt God was speaking to me through just what happened as we were celebrating the birthday at our house. And that was our grandchildren came, well, some of our grandchildren. Now, I don't know about you, but I have sort of like an idea of the way that birthdays should operate. But they had a different idea. Sophia, aged 6, and Naomi, aged 4. And they decided that the way that birthday cards should be opened, we should open them in a rota. So they should do one, Sophia, then Naomi, and then me. And so on. Then we went round doing the birthday cards like that. Now, I've never done that before, but it's just, I felt God to say to me afterwards with a big smile on his face and put a smile in my heart about learning to recognise in the church, and I'm a person who loves order in the church, that maybe God, when new people come, wants to change that order and do things in a different way, particularly for younger people. And I just want to suggest to you, I mean, the other thing that was quite funny was it was a team effort to blow out the candles. Well, the candle, actually, because the cake wouldn't take as many as it would need. But the point about it was, I felt God just saying to me, you know, as you get new members in your family coming through, they've got a contribution to make. They've got a way to do things. And we have to learn as a family, the Hindmarches, to do it differently and to involve them and allow them to take the lead sometimes. And I just want to suggest to you that with Simon, it's being your pastoral team leader, I will get that title into my head, that you as a church have got to learn perhaps to do things in new ways that you haven't done before. And Simon's maybe got to learn to do things in a new way as well, especially as I hope and pray God keeps bringing new people to this church, and you know, younger people as well, who just see things like my family, my growing family, a little bit differently than the way I've been used to doing things. Anyway, today you've come together as a church to welcome and support Simon and Darla and their family, but Simon in particular is your new pastoral team leader, and you are entering a new chapter in the life of your church. I know you've had some wonderful chapters in the past, and I do believe God has got more new, wonderful things that he wants to do here in this place through you and through your church leadership team as well. But the question comes, how are you going to make the most of the God-given opportunities that are going to come along in the coming weeks, months, and years? How are you going to remain as a happy and healthy church from this morning onwards? And Paul the Apostle was something of an expert in not just establishing churches, but in guiding them, particularly in difficult situations. And we have 13 letters in the New Testament part of the Bible from Paul, primarily to churches and pastors, helping them in the particular situation that they faced, and lots of wisdom that's relevant for us today. The reading that Mike brought to us from Ephesians chapter 4, I want to suggest perhaps gives three wise words that would help Simon, help the rest of the team, help all of us here today in as we journey together as a church, as God's people. And the first thing is, we need to look to ourselves first. So if we want to be a happy and healthy church, we want to be effective, We want to be the people that God's called us to be, light shining in the darkness, love to people around us who perhaps have very little love in their lives, in the homes and streets around here, salt of the earth. I think the first thing Paul is suggesting is that we look to ourselves. And he says this in the reading that Mike brought to us: make sure your life is worthy of God's calling, because you can and you will make a difference. Don't anybody here this morning think that you haven't got a unique and special important contribution to make to the life of this church. Every single person here matters. Everybody has a contribution to bring. It may be a big one, it may be a small one, but the church here at New Malden needs everybody's contribution. Every one of you needs to look to yourself and the calling that God has given you on your life. And Paul talks about the need to be humble and meek, to be patient with others. I don't know about you, but I can sometimes feel very impatient, particularly as a church leader. Why can't they just see it? Why can't we just do it and get on with it? What are we doing all this talking and all this other and that and the other, delaying things? But Paul says to church leaders, but to all of us, be patient with others and yourself as well, bearing with one another in love. So letting love control us, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus talked about building his church, and by his church, the New Testament talks about living stones. So it's not a building, as that brilliant video showed us right at the beginning. It's living stones made of people like you and me. We are the living stones that God is building his church as a place of worship together, so that we can be God's children together in this place. So that's the first thing, look to ourselves. But the next thing is, Paul says, look to Christ, look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Fix your eyes on the Lord, because the Lord is at the heart of all that we do, and he is the reason why we do all that we do as a church. If it wasn't for the Lord, I doubt we'd be here this morning. We're here because of Jesus and his impact on our lives. And it's Jesus makes us part of the family of God, because that's one of the great pictures in the New Testament of the church, being like an extended family. So yes, I'm a member of the Hindmarch family, but I'm also a member of the family at Witten Baptist Church. And when I journey to places like you today, I just feel part of a bigger family. And I guess a lot of us feel like that when we go to different churches. We recognize we're part of something much bigger than just us and our immediate group of people, the family of the church. So we look to Jesus, because there's one Lord, Jesus our Savior. There's one body, his church. There's one shared faith, one set of Christian values, one baptism in water and the Spirit. One God, our Father, who is over all and above all. Saying in the Three Musketeers book by Alexander Dumas, you may have seen the film or read it, is remember the Musketeers, who are sort of soldiers, say all for one and one for all. And that's what we're called to do as a church. We're all for one and we're one for all. So we look to ourselves, we look to Christ. But then thirdly, and this is my final point, so you'll be happy to know that, we look to each other as well. We look to each other to share and to serve. And everybody here, just like that parable of the talents that Jesus told in the New Testament, has at least one gift, one skill, one talent, at least one. I believe many of us here will have two, we may have five, we may have more, just like the parable described. But every one of us has got something unique to bring that New Malden Baptist Church needs. Simon hasn't got it all. He's got an amazing amount of gifts. He's an incredibly, to me, talented and gifted person, as are the team here with Andy and Chung and Colin, I know a little bit as well, and so on. But and the musicians, you're just fantastic. You could do all sorts of things I could never do. And there's many, you know, other things that go on in the life of this church, bringing their gifts and talents together. But we need each other's gifts and talents. Nobody has it all. We need what everybody else brings as well. And one of the reasons that we're told that God gives us these gifts and talents is for the benefit of others. So we're not meant to keep them to ourselves. We're not meant to sit on them, like the man who buried his talent in the ground and got told off by Jesus in the parable. We're meant to pull them out and share them and have opportunities to use our talents in the church for the benefit of each other. So we're to look to each other to share and serve. And just as a sort of a sub-point of that, I'm trying to say there, let your leaders lead. There are churches where, and I'm not saying this church is like this for a moment, but there are churches where the leaders just always find themselves being obstructed and blocked. Whatever they put forward, somebody somewhere wants to stop it and say, oh no, I know better, and things like that, rather than listening and maybe just allowing the leaders to come through. To use the metaphor, you know, it'd be like when we had that birthday party yesterday, saying to the grandchildren, which I would never have done, oh no, we do it the way that we always do, that the person whose birthday it is, they open the cards, they blow out the candles. And you could just imagine the children's faces just going, you know, like that, and say, oh no, you know. And we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be crushing each other or resisting each other. And we certainly should let our leaders, like Simon, lead, recognising that they will do things in new ways that God is calling them to take this church, new directions. And the purpose of all of this, final point from Paul, is that together we are called to be equipped, and our leaders will help us to do that. They're called to be equipped for works of service, so that the body of Christ here at New Malden Baptist Church, we can all be built up in unity and maturity. I'm really excited for you today. It's a new chapter. I just believe God is going to do wonderful things through this church. He's done great things in the past, and it was, you know, it was a privilege to know Johnny in particular, and to know a little bit about the church during that time. But I just believe God has got new and wonderful things that he wants to show you, and I just encourage you to welcome and accept and support your leaders, pray for them, and allow God's Spirit to move in this church. Thank you for listening. Thank you.